शङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तः पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृत्रश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्ताक्षो वरिष्ठनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्ददातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने। नमस्ते टु एवरीवन्। So we are in verse 11 of the Pundaka Upanishad, second Kandaha. So far, the Upanishad has been talking about the Aparavidya, and it has brought out the drawbacks of the pursuit of the Aparavidya. So before going into the Paravidya, which is the where the Upanishad is going to go, it wants to make sure that the ground is very clear and the Vaidika is absolutely sure about the fallacies and the benefits which are available, and the person is very clear what he wants to pursue. The idea behind this is it does not put down the karma, but it says that this karma a person does is not going to be the ultimate aim, or it will not give him moksha if the person is seeking. Because only paravidya will give him moksha. Aparavidya will not give him moksha. So accordingly, there are three ashramas are segregated as the grahastha ashrama is supposed to be called karma pradanaha, or that which is born out of karma. So if you are a grahastha ashrama, if you are in grahastha ashrama, if you are not pursuing the Vedas, if you are not studying the Vedas, or if you are not have the vision of the Vedas, then you are a grahastha for all purpose sake. And a grahastha is supposed to be doing what? All karmas as enjoined in the Vedas. Then from the grahastha ashrama, you go to vanaprastha stage. So there are four parts of the entire life. Shatam samvatsaram. So shataha means 100. And a man's or woman's life is 100 years are given, human's life. if you live properly, as enjoined by the Shastras, disciplined life, 100 years is possible. So the first 25 years is devoted for brahmacharyam. I mean, not necessarily the person, when 7 years of age, from 7 onwards till 25, the person is only pursuing pranam he does, then he studies the Vedas, he goes to the Guru. And then from the brahmacharyam, he goes into to grahastashrama. And the Shastram says that before getting married, if he had gone to the Gurukulam and if there was a teacher who taught him, then he is supposed to be first of all offering Guru Dakshina to the teacher before getting into grahastashrama. Because Upanishad knows very clearly that once a person gets into grahasthashrama, he will not be able to spend any money towards the gurus, or he will not have the commitment as before. Now a newfound life is come. He has got married now, desire has come, kamaha is right there, young person enjoying the life. So there is a lot of distraction which is there, and in the process the person does not have the commitment to pursue studies. He drops it for a while. So in the Taittiriya Upanishad it says here, Acharyaya Priyadana Mahritya Prajadantu Mamya Bachetsi. Acharyaya Priyam Dana Mahritya Prajadantu Mamya Bachetsi. It says here that before you go into the Grahasthashrama, one has to first pay back the renown of the Guru who was given the education. Because the astivaram or the foundation of your grahasthashrama is being built upon the teachings of the teacher who has given you the way to lead life. What the shastram says, how to lead a Vedic life is being taught. So it is an offering. Then from the when you go into the grahasthashrama, it is called the karma pradanaha, which is fully driven by karma. The person does karma. Until 50 years of age, he is supposed to be grahasthashrama. So between 50 and 75, the person is supposed to move towards vanaprastham stage, which is called Upasana Pradanaha. So Karma Pradanaha is for Grahasthashrama. Upasana Pradanaha is for Vanaprastha. Where Upasana means what? Is thus only penance and meditation. He or she, in the olden days, they used to leave the house, go towards a forest. Vanaprastaha means, or prastana means go, and vanaha means to the forest. So they go to the forest as husband and wife. They lead a life by themselves, not having a lot of money and car and everything is going like this. They leave everything and then say, look, I have done what I am required for this, my duties. Now I am going to Vanaprastha, I am going to pursue my own. Both of them they go as husband and wife. They continue to do their karmas as per enjoined the Vedas, because they are still married. but they live upon the alms, like they do not, you know, go and seek food. They live in a quiet life, meditate. Naturally, if they have been a very studious person, they would have been taught the Vedanta Shastram by the Guru. And they spend their life now teaching other people. So when you say, okay, Vanaprastham Poi, what will you do there? Should we continue to do, you know, do Uttapam and Dosa and everything else? No, that is not it. It is not that objective. The objective is that you have left everything. You require food to keep your body moving and make sure that it is sustainable. You don't fall down, you don't become weak. Because body is important. But the body is not that important for you to keep on, you know, feeding it. Right. So Upasana Pradhanaha means, Upasana means what? As I told you, the Upanishad has got Karma Kanda and Upasana Kanda. So Karma Kanda is predominantly done by the Grahasthas. Upasana Kanda is predominantly done by the Vanaprasthas. When you go to Vanaprastha stage, you don't have to go anywhere physically. You can just be yourself. You can retire by yourself. You can cut yourself out from other activities which is not taking you there. Ultimately, you have to make a choice as to what you want to do. And the process is very clearly that from a grahastha ashrama, you can become a sannyasi also. There is no restriction that, you know, you have to go through Vanaprastha and become sannyasa. From a grahastha ashrama, if your mental state is very steady, if you have accomplished a certain level of vairagyam, dispassion and knowledge, and you have sort of come to a stage when you understood the fallacies of all these pursuits, artha, kama, dharma, and you are very clear about the goal, if you feel that your duties are completed, not like running away halfway, leaving the children and the wife, you know, uncared for. That is what Shastram says. Shastram says here, for husband or the wife, whoever it is, they have to make sure that the person is settled well. They do not have any problems anymore and they are well catered for. The children's duties are finished and now they can be on their own. They don't need your physical support or moral support anymore to continue to be there. So they go to Vanaprastha stage, the husband and wife. And from the Vanaprastha stage, they live their life for 25 years. And 75 years or so, when close to that, each person takes sannyasa. And the wife continues to be at home or in the place where the husband is there. She becomes a sannyasini just by herself. The husband will move out of the house because they cannot be together anymore. So both becomes sannyasa, which is what jnana pradana. So sannyasa is sannyasa marga, sannyasa ashrama is jnana pradanam. Grahastha ashrama is karma pradanam. Vanaprastha ashrama is upasana pradanam. See, karma can be done without upasana. Karma can be done without upasana. But upasana cannot be done without karma. Because the order is karma, upasana, jnana. So karma can be done independently without upasana, without meditation. But a combination of karma and upasana is the best. where a person does the karma, he meditates upon the Saguna Brahman or the Ishvara, develops vairagyam, dispassion, and then pursues moksha. So Upanishad here introduces saying that the people who do karma and upasanas, they, if they have a view that they want to achieve certain lokas, or they want to achieve, go to travel some places. Like somebody will say, you know, I want to go to Brahma Loka, I want to go to Indra Loka, I want to go to Shiva Loka, I want to go to Vaikuntham. So you will see a lot of people talk about, you know, this Vaishnavites or Shaivites. Vaishnavites are there, they will say that you will go to Vaikuntham. Vaikuntham is an abode of Lord Vishnu. It is also a loka where Vishnu resides. If you are a Shaivite, the person will say that you go to Shiva Lokam where Shiva resides. And if you are pursuing Brahma Jnanam, you will go to Brahma Loka, which is Brahma resides. Now all this, as I told you before, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, they are not different. They are one and the same. We saw before in the Upanishad, right? If you remember that Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, they are not separate people, and anybody who thinks they are different, they don't have the vision of the Shastra. They do not have the vision of the Vedas. All the three are only one. So, where is the question of somebody going to Vishnu Loka and staying there? Somebody will say that I am a Vaishnavite, I will not follow Shiva Shaivism, or I will not talk to people who are got Shaivism. These are all your own understanding of, you know, the limited view of who you are. Whereas the Vedanti has got no such vision. He has got no such ideas. He says, first of all, I am actually beyond this lokas. See, the loka also is what time, correct? All these places you travel, when you say you go to some place, means what? Go to means what? Means there is a place you have to go, and there's a travel required. And travel means there's a time required. And time is within Brahman. Time itself is limited. So when the lokas where you travel itself is time bound, how can time bound destination can give you happiness? Is what Upanishad says. So such people who think that they are going to Brahma Loka or this, these people do not have clear vision. And here Shankaracharya gives threefold explanation. Firstly, he quotes the Shruti Vakyam. It says, Shruti says here that this Jnanam or the Brahman can be obtained in this Loka itself. In the Kshaname, you can get it. There is no need for you to go to travel any place to Brahma Loka and, you know, wait there. If you have attained Jnanam, if you know your own true Swarupam of yourself as Brahman or the Atma or the awareness of Satchit Anandaha, then you are freedom, you are free, you have already got moksha. There is no need to see anything. On the other hand, if a person says that he has to go to Brahma Loka, you cannot go to Brahma Loka with the physical body, right? You have to die first. So you have to die first, and then, you know, you have to go through the solar path to different lokas. Whereas if you are a jnani or a person who has already got the vision, there is no need for you to die anything, because you already got the vision and you don't need to do anything more. Whereas the person who says, I want to go to this loka or that loka, then you have to, you cannot go in the body. Like the question of Trishanku, you remember Trishanku's story I told you. Trishanku wanted to go to Brahmaloka. And he says that, you know, I will travel with the body. And Indra, it's Indraloka. Indra says that I will not accept you in this form. You have to leave your physical body in the Bhuloka and then come in, you know, in the other, in Deva body, which is different. But he was adamant. And Vishwamitra, he said, I'll control this. So every time, you know, he was just thrown up and down. Indra used to go to Indraloka, Indra will push him down. Then Vishwamitra will send him up. And eventually he was traveling up and down these two lokas. And it became Trishanku because he was not neither in Indraloka nor in Bhuloka. He was in the middle loka somewhere, hanging around. So what it says here is that if you want to go to any loka, Brahmaloka or Vaikuntham or other loka, you have to die first. Physical body has to die. And then, you know, you have to go again through the Surya Loka, Surya Path, Solar Path. That means there is a space between the effort, sadhana and a sadhyam, correct? So, you have an effort which you are doing in this loka and then you die. And there is a time lapse between, you know, you pass away and go there. But we already say that time is within Brahman. So therefore it cannot give you moksha. When anything which is got time element there, it is not permanent. Therefore it cannot be moksha. So this is what the Acharya says here. Shankaracharya refutes the argument saying that people who think like this, they are not very clear about the concept of the Brahman. Secondly, when you are studying this Upanishad or this specific Kandaha here we are not talking about moksha. Here, because the Shruti says here that we are talking about Aparavidya here. And Aparavidya will not lead you to moksha. So he says here, like anybody who is reading this section or this part of Kandaha, and he or she thinks that it is going, all this I am going to do is going to moksha. This is not going to take you to moksha. Let me be very clear. So Shankaracharya very clearly says, first point he says is that anything you loka you do, there is, you have to go to some place. That means your physical body has to die. You have to shed your physical body and go in some other form. So there's a difference in between effort, correct? Sadhanam and sadhyam, correct? So effort is there and then there's also time. So when this time involved, in the moment you say time, kalaha, kala abhaditam is what Brahman, correct? That is not governed by time is Brahman. The moment you say time, you naturally bring the limited view of your own self. So naturally he says this cannot give you moksha. So any travel to any loka, any of the seven lokas above, you are not going to give permanent there, you will again come back only. So don't, secondly, for Brahma loka, you will have to do lots of tapas. It's like being a zillionaire in today's environment. How many people will be a zillionaire? People will be billionaires. But to be a zillionaire, you can count 1%, 2%. Correct? So, and for that, he would have done so many things he would have done. So, to go to Brahma Loka is not that easy. You have to do all the karmas as enjoined the Shastras. You have to have done all Upasanas, study Shastras. You have done with Adhyayanam as per the Shastras. All of them you do systematically till you die. Not even sacrifice a single day. But today I think I can't do all these things. Today I'm going to dance program. Today I got this party. After 1 week I'll come. This is all Brahmanishta. So those people, for example, cannot go to Brahmaloka. It is very ruled out. He says, because for that kind of a commitment, you need to be Brahmanishta always. So don't even think of going to Brahmaloka, the Upanishad says. Because it is a very arduous task, difficult to do by everyone. And even if you do also, if there is a mistake in the way you do things, it will not lead to result. We saw before also the Upanishad that the Agnihotram was example given. The Agnihotram, if you don't do properly with Darsha Purna Masat Mane, that is the offering in the full moon and the Amavasya day, if you don't do on that specific days, if you do only that specific day, it is not going to give you fun. But there are many other rituals to be done. Like Shastram has got very, very clear requirement about how to do rituals. I'll just give you some examples. First of all, when you get up in the morning, you're supposed to be wearing a very clear vastram, untouched vastram. That is, you cannot get up in the morning and same wear previous yesterday's clothes because it is winter, same clothes, and then you just come and then do the same puja. You cannot do that. There has to be a separate set of clothes or which is used only for that purpose. Say if you're doing Sandhya Vandana in the morning or Deva Puja, whichever you do, you have to have that separate set of clothes which is used only for that purpose, only for that day. It can be kept separately, you may not wear it again. You may go upstairs, change into another clothes, then the old, that waist or that sari, whatever you are wearing, it remains there. Next day morning again you can use it. But after taking bath. So shaucham is there. Correct. So you can imagine, for example, again when you're eating the food, if you are having the vesti and eating the food, then the vesti becomes ashaucham. Because when the food is gone, means the food becomes ashaucham for the body. That's what it says here. So you cannot use same vesti to do sadhyasana again in the evening. If you're Brahmanishta, if you're following Veda, then these things don't apply to you. If you already become a jnani, or if you have got vision of the Shastram very clearly, then these karmas don't apply to you. But if you're not there yet, and if you want to pursue the Shastram to the core, karma kanda you want to follow, then you'll do everything very clearly. So he says there are every nook and corner, so many difficulties are there, that you have to know everything how to do properly. And if you don't know how to do it, it will be treated as not being done properly and you won't get the phalam. Thereby, you can't go to Brahmaloka. So he says, why do all these complications when you don't know how to do this kind of thing? Simply come to Vedanta class, like this class here, understand Veda Shastram, get the vision of Brahma, you become free, you are a free person. All karmas leave you, all upasanas leave you. Eventually, when you pass away, you already have attained Brahman. If you are not attained Brahman also, you will be reborn in a body to continue from where you left. And you will be given moksha in next janma. So that is the beauty of the study of Shastra. So like there are only four people in the class, five people in the class. So many people are there. Everybody can learn, right? But not many people are there. Because it's a resilient concept. Everybody has got money, everybody has got facilities. But only a few people will come. And only a few out of these few people only will actually be able to go up to the end of the 10th Upanishad. Up to the 10th and Brahma Sutras, how many people will go is a difficult thing. Correct. Because you have to go a long way, 8 years you have to study. 8 years continuously, systematically, regularly with one teacher. Without, and by doing this, automatically Vairagya will come. You will leave lots of things. You will become like a Vittithima. You will not be interested. Even though you're sitting there, body physically, mindly somewhere else. Those kind of things. So, it's a fairly long process. But it has got results. That's what it says here. That this has not been discussed. Okay. Secondly, in the Upasana Kanda also, when the person does Upasana also, it is better than Karma Kanda, because in Karma Kanda you do only karmas. In Upasana Kanda, you do Upasana along with karma, correct? You meditate on the Brahman, you meditate on the Saguna Brahma Ishvara. But even if a person passes away in the ashrama, in Vanaprastha ashrama, his papam and punyam will be reduced. But it will not disappear overnight. He will be born with lesser punyam and papa in the next jatva. So it is not going to give him moksha. The third point, what Shankara says here, is all these three points should be considered. First point is that all this, the Shruti says here that Brahma Loka or all the Loka has got time specific ones. So any travel to this Loka is not possible or should not be considered because there is a time factor involved in it. And there is a difference between effort and the result. Second thing, what that says here is that this is out of the context for discussion here, because we are talking about aparavidya, and aparavidya, as you already know, cannot give you the vision. So one must not have the view that I continue to pursue aparavidya and I'm going to get all these benefits, I'm going to go to Brahmaloka or other lokas and get moksha. So Acharya says here that don't even look at this. This is not even to be considered. You're not going to get there. See, here we are talking about, he is now setting a picture for paravidya. So he says, if you want to go to paravidya, then you have to understand that these things are not, will not take you there. So you have to understand very clearly. So setting the background is very important, correct? Whether you want to pursue this or pursue want to that. No, I want to do this and that also. You become a sannyasi, you cannot do karma yoga. You cannot do this or karma yoga. No, I would like to be a sannyasi, yet I will do karma. The karma itself is not required for it. That ashrama doesn't require you to do any karma for yourself. You can do for other people. But, so every ashrama has got some limitations, it has got its own rules and regulations. Then the third, it says here that all this which is done here, they are done for purity only. And purification is only for the Upasaka's punyam and papam only. And it cannot be considered as moksha. See, as long as you got punyam papam mishram is there, and you got identity with the punyam papam, you cannot be called a free person. So therefore, we have to conclude here, saying that the Shruti is not talking about the moksha here. So, from the next one or two verses, the aparavidya is being discussed and then starts to discount it. Okay. So, we look at the verse 11 now. I've given you a brief commentary about what the verse is all about. Now, if you look at the verse and the bhashyam, you'll understand what it means. Tapaha shraddhe yehi Upavasantaranye. Tapaha shraddhe yehi Upavasantaranye. Shanta vidvamso Bhaikshacharya charantaha. Shanta vidvamso Bhaikshacharya charantaha. Tapaha shraddhe yehi upavasantarange shanta vidvamso baikshacharya charantaha. Surya dvarena te virajaha prayanti. Surya dvarena te viraja prayanti yatra mrtaha sa purusho hyavya atma. Yatra mataha sa purusho hyavya atma. తపశ్చర్యేహి ఉపవసంతరంగే శాంత విద్వాంసో భైక్షచర్యాచరంత సూర్యద్వారేణ తే విరాజా ప్రయంతి యత్రామృతస్స పురుషో హ్యవ్య ఆత్మ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ది పోయెటిక్ ఆర్ ద వర్స్ ఇస్ హియర్. నౌ వి లుక్ అట్ ది అన్వయ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఆర్ ద ప్రోస్ ఫామ్. తే విద్వాంస తే విద్వాంస ఏహి శాంతాః అరణ్యే భైక్షచర్యా చరంతః తపః శ్రద్ధే ఉపవసంతి. సో దిస్ ఇస్ వన్ లైన్. తే విద్వాంసః ఏహి శాంతః అరణ్యే భైక్షచర్యా చరంతః తపశ్రద్ధే ఉపవసంతి. తే విరజః సూర్యద్వారేణ తత్ర ప్రయంతి యత్ర హి స అమృతః పురుష అవ్య ఆత్మ. తే విరజః సూర్యద్వారేణ తత్ర ప్రయంతి యత్ర హి స అమృతః పురుషః అవ్యయాత్మ. సో రీడ్ వన్ మోర్. తే విద్వాంసః ఏహి శాంతా అరణ్యే భైక్షచర్యా చరంతః తపశ్రద్ధే ఉపవసంతి. తే విరజః సూర్యద్వారేణ తత్ర ప్రయంతి యత్ర హి స అమృత పురుష అవ్యయాత్మ. సో తే విద్వాంసః, యు టేక్ ద ఫస్ట్ లెటర్ ఆఫ్ తే విద్వాంసః. హూ ఇస్ విద్వాంసః? దోస్ ఉపాసకాస్. విద్వత్ మీన్స్ ద పర్సన్ హూ హస్ గాట్ విద్వత్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో వెన్ యూ గో టు వానప్రస్థ స్టేజ్ విక్రమ్ టు ఎంప్టీ హ్యాండెడ్, యూ డు నాట్ నో ఎనీథింగ్. సుమ్మా పోయి దోశ తాగకపోకూడదు. యూ హావ్ టు గో విత్ మసాలా దేర్. You have to go prepared, saying, yes, I have gathered all the knowledge in the Grahastha Ashrama. I have studied Vedanta Shastra with the Guru. And now, 60, maybe 50 is too early for you to go. Still, you know, my body is very young. I am very young at heart. I feel 16. Sometimes people say, I feel 20 only. Age is a number only. It is a number. Why worry? No, you have to behave as a number. You cannot be 50 and behave like a 16-year-old body. You cannot talk about experiences when you are like a 16-year-old boy or girl. You have to talk about a 50-year-old experienced man or woman. You cannot continue to live in the past. Once a while you can remember things, you can share memories, etc. But you cannot continue to be dwelling in the past and remember, lead the life as what you were before. So you have to graduate, you have to mature, and you have to leave those things behind. Correct. So te vidvamsaha, that one word means that you, these upasakas, or these people who practice upasana kandaha. Upasana kanda, as I told you before also, is done in the vanaprastha stage, where they done the karmas, now they are meditating under saguna brahma upasana. They have not yet come into Nirguna Brahma Upasana. They have come to the Saguna Brahma Upasana. They meditate on the Brahma, all the Ishwara's attributes. But their whole focus is only on meditation and nothing else. They do karmas which is required by them on a regular basis. And they also do upasana kanda. So te vidvamsaha ehi shantaha Yehi Shantaha means those who live peacefully. See, when you go to the forest, you cannot expect people, right? You cannot say that I want to go to this. Oh no, I think I have to go to the wedding party. I have to go to this, you know, mehndi party. I have to go to dance party. You cannot. You have to leave all of that. No more all this. You have left everything. Now you are going to Vanaprastha. Look, you know, I have relinquished all my duties. I have done everything. And Shastram says very clearly that once you get your son married or daughter married, after that your job is over. Then you don't have to actually take on other responsibility saying that now I have to take care of their son or daughter. Now I have to make sure that they are safe, everything is working okay or not. So you add now another responsibility on you. Then that children will, you know, you get attachment to that grandchildren or granddaughter, whatever it is. They'll grow up. You will become 75 and they will become 16, 17 or maybe 21. If you're getting married early, by the time you are 60, they will be 22. And then they'll get married. After married, they'll get children. And then you have expectation that you want to see the Uparayanam or their, you know, other functions. Then they'll get married. See, but isn't it a point? When will you come out? So Shastram has got very clear done saying that once you have done all the duties as a father, your son is married now, and the Matugan has come to your house. Marumagal has come to your house. Now it is for him to continue the generation. He has to continue what you are doing and then develop for his own Antakarna Shuddhi. You have done what you require, but you don't hang around them. No, I won't hang around them. I like to be around them. Then you will be always stuck there permanently. So Vanaprastha says here is that Yehi Shantaha means those people who have lived peacefully, living peacefully, in self-control, most self-control. See, when you go to this, you have to have self-control. You cannot just, you know, feel like doing something and coming back. So that word, Ehi Shantaha, Aranye, Aranye means in forest, Aranye, means in the forest. How does a person live? Bhaikshatavya charantaha. Bhaiksha means bhikshu. Charya. Bhaiksha, bhikshu charya means what? Not pichavangradala. Bhikshu is like for humble. They give you, offer food, depend, because they know your knowledge. They come to you because you teach Vedas, you teach chanting, or you do help them in their life. How they want to do, lead the dharma life. They come and ask you, oh, I don't know how to do this one. Can you teach me how to do this? I got a problem in this. How to solve this? You give them knowledge, your vision. How do you do this? And people will respect your knowledge. They give you bhiksha. See, in the olden days, you do not go to somebody empty-handed, correct? You go to somebody, you always go with fruit. See, even if somebody go to somebody's house, in our tradition, we always say, can you just stop somewhere on the road? I want to buy some fruit or flower and go there. Don't we do that? We do that. Correct. Because this is our culture. That whenever you go to somebody's house, we do not walk empty-handed. Especially for the first time when you're going. If you know the person, somebody already, then it's okay. But if you're going, walking to somebody's house, then you want to give a chocolate bar or a biscuit or something you give. Okay. So, this Bhaiksha Charyaha Charantaha means they live on the alms or taking to life of alms. They do not anymore depend upon, you know, their pukkath for a samana varu angende. You know, I think Vaya Prabhupada is coming there, Para Prabhupada is coming there. Correct. All those things are being supplied in trucks, and then you live a comfortable life. That is not what it is. AC is coming from forest. No. You live a life which is completely normal, available there, and you live on what is available there in the forest. This is what is said in the Shastra. Now, how much of we are following is difficult to understand. What Shastra tells here, you do not have to go to the forest. See, I'll give you an example. Let us say you are Grahastha, right? You are all Grahasthas. You are all. I am also Grahastha, you are also Grahastha. And we can choose to live a life how we want to do. There are some Grahasthas who will actually wait for an opportunity to be called. I think, you know, I would like to go to the house. Dinner is very good. So they'll always make their plan. Today dinner is their house, tomorrow breakfast in their house. Then the day after this program is there, they have to go to their house. You know, they always, so for them, they want involvement, they want activity. And their whole program is driven by all sorts of things. Correct. Agenda is driven. Whereas other Grahastha says, I don't have any problem. If I get even, you know, simple rice, curd rice at home, or if I don't get anything available, I'll just eat. I don't have any preference for that. See, from where the person has come down. Somebody may ask, what do you like to eat, Guruji? He says, no, whatever is available, you make. I don't have preference. No, I would like to have, you know, rasam sadam. We make less salt like this. We make this way, that way. All these instructions you give. That means your taste bud has not gone. Certain things you can avoid. Rumble, onion, garlic, or other things you don't eat. You tell them, I don't eat. You can make them without it. If they make it, you don't have to consume. The other things you can consume. Right. Out of so many dishes, there will be some salad will be there. Something will be there which you can eat. Without this. So what it means is that you are choosy about what you are eating. And you are eating to the extent required only. So even though you are in Grahastha Ashrama, you are still living a life of Vanaprastha. You're not actually, your pursuit or your activity is not driven by desire to go to somebody's house to eat. Whereas if somebody calls you, you go, otherwise you are at home by yourself. You do not need to go anywhere. This is also a state of mind, Vanaprastha. Because when you say Bhakshi Charya Charantaha. Charantaha means they walk around, they go about. So by Bhikshuhu means you do not have any more aspiration for taste or texture of the food or the color of the food. Because when you develop a taste for the food, then you know, you still have got the vasanas in there. Whereas sometimes one day the food will be salty. One day there will be no salt. Next day it will be too spicy. Other day there will be no spice. One day it will be cooked, not cooked. It will be, rice will be very, very hard rice. You can't even swallow the rice. You get to see a lot of people there. Now when you sit, when you're served, you look at the food and what do? Brahma pranam brahma havihi brahma agnav brahma nahutam brahma ivatena kantavyam brahma karma samadhina. Correct. So you say the mantra and then you say that this food is what is going to be digested, you eat. You do not look at the texture, you do not look at the quality, you just eat only for the fulfilling of the body. Because at the end of the day, what do you need? Need physical strength to move about and do what karma you want to do. If you want to study Shastra, you don't need a lot of strength. So, this word, one word, Aranye Bhaikshya Charya Charantaha, means that one has to live a life of Bhikshuhu, living on the alms, not carrying food from, you know, when they retire, and they say, I'm going to take, you know, maybe 20 bags of so and so and then stock everything in the godown. And then they continue to live for the next 20 years. Not like that. Because when you go to the forest, you cannot carry a lot of things. But here, you know, in the current scenario, in the Kali Yuga, you cannot go to the forest because there's no forest there anymore. There's no forest. Even the forest also, you'll find big buildings are there. You'll really go into deep, you know, reserve. And there, they won't let you there because it is all protected reserve. You can't go inside the reserve. So those things are gone. So all you do, you live in a secluded place. You move out of the family environment which is there, along with your brothers, sisters, you know, everybody is there. You go to a separate place. You buy an apartment of your own, or you'll move away from the place, secluded place where you are just by yourself. You and your husband and wife are just yourself. And you live a life of contented life. Dedicated to Saguna Brahma Upasana. Whatever you are able to get out of this, you just live basic. Not the extravagant life. Correct. So that's what it says here. Bhakshi charya charantaha tapaha. Tapaha means by leading light of tapas. Right. Shraddha. Tapaha shraddhe upavasantihi. Shraddha means with commitment and doing all the austerities which is required. Like the Brahmana comes to your house, you invite him. Sadhu comes to your house, you invite him. If somebody, sannyasi, comes and says, I don't have a place to stay, can I stay in your house? You accommodate him. A teacher comes and says, I don't have a place to stay, I would like to stay for 2 days, you entertain him. You, all these kind of activities. You know? So these are all called tapaha, shraddha, anything tapas. Then te virajaha. So what do they become? They become very pure. Te virajaha means they become very pure. Because the activities which they do itself is a purity, right? So by doing all these austerities, by doing all this yajnaha, by living in the forest and living a life of contented life, they acquire more punyam, they become pure internally. Mentally, they become very pure. And they have not yet gained the vision of the Shastram yet. They have not yet gained Jnanam yet. But they become mentally pure to some extent. And they pass away halfway. In the Vanaprastha stage, when they are living on their life of as husband and wife alone, they pass away. One of them passes away. So what happens to this person? Surya Dwarena, this person goes through the solar path. Solar path, as I told you before, there are two paths. Correct. Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. The two things are there. The moon path and the solar path. Surya Dwarena, Tatra, Prayantihi, this person travels through the solar path. Yatra hi sa amrutaha. So amrutam here means what? The immortal lokas. The immortal lokas are the deva or the deva lokas. They are immortals. They are not mortals. The people in the Bhuloka, they are mortals. They take birth and die. Anything above the Bhulokas, they are not immortal. They are immortals. So Amrutaha means what? Immortality. And Purushaha Avya Atma. Avya Atma means they become imperishable. So they go to Hiranyagarbha, the Brahma Loka, which is imperishable. So Hiranyagarbha is another name for Brahma. Brahma. Right. The solar path takes him to the Brahmaloka, and then Brahmaloka also he enjoys for some time, because Brahmaloka also comes within time. Even Brahmaji also is actually bound by time. Because Brahmaji itself is actually coming from the imperishable Brahman, correct? Yo devanam pratamaha brahma sambhabhuva. So first from the imperishable Brahman, Brahmaji came into existence. So when Brahmaji itself came into existence, means what? He himself is limited by time. So when you go to Brahmaloka, what happens? You are not, you cannot say that you will not come back. When Brahmaji's life is over, when this whole yuga is over, you will not again take birth again. So you'll be there. You will not take birth for as long as Brahmaji doesn't take birth, you'll be there. So it's called immortal. Amrutaha. Amritam means what? Immortality. Immortality is again what? Time bound. It's not permanent. All the devas are also time bound. They are immortal only for that yuga, for that. That's all you've got. When the Kali Yuga finishes, when all the yuga finishes, all of them will again be reborn. And we do not know what Indra will be doing. We do not know. There will be another Srishti coming in the picture, which will have a different order of reality. So, Amrutaha Purushaha Avyaya Atma. Avyaya means the unimperishable. Atma of the nature of this one. So Hiranyagarbha is a place where the imperishable resides for some time. See, that's what it says here. Avi Atma means, the word immortal here means having a very long life. Means as long as the world is enjoying existence, you live. At the time of pralayam, mahapralaya, you also get resolved, right? Dissolution happens. And then you again come back. But there's a doubt. Nanu etam moksha vichanti kechit. Nanu etam moksha vichanti kechit. But some people consider the attainment of Brahmaloka as moksha. Is it so? It's a question. But some people say that attainment of Brahmaloka itself is moksha. So when you study the Shastram, somebody will say, I don't want to go to Indraloka, I want to go to Brahmaloka, because when you go to Brahmaloka, it's the highest of the loka, Satya Loka. Out of the seven lokas above, the seventh loka is the Brahmaloka. And by chance, like a zillionaire, if you're able to get there, by hook or crook, somehow, and if you happen to be there, then one may say, oh my God, I have reached Brahmaloka. So for me, there is no punarjanma. I'm mortal. I got moksha. This is the view expressed by some people. So there's a doubt whether this is truth or not, is what the Upanishad puts a question itself. So the Shankara Bhashyam says here, Nanu, but Nanu, Etam, here, moksha michanti kechit. Some people think that this is a sadhanam for moksha. What? This is Brahma Loka. See, Shankaracharya says here that this lot of people make a mistake or commit a mistake, because the Upanishad is talking about Hiranyagarbha. Correct. And Hiranyagarbha is connected to the word called Amrutaha, we saw before, correct? And Avyaya Atma. Avyaya means what? Imperishable. Atma is imperishable. So the Upanishad is saying that I am saying that, you know, this is Hiranyagarbha. It is Avyaya Atma and Amrutaha. So when the person reads the Upanishad, the mantras, he thinks, oh, Hiranyagarbha means Brahmaloka. If you go to Brahmaloka, I become the imperishable Brahman. I become the, you know, the immortal person. So this is quite logical. People may think. So therefore, Shankaracharya, to assist the people, he clarifies in some other verses. We'll look at this. Naha, he says, na, that is not truth. Ihaiva sarva praviliyanti kamaha. Na ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. This is Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.2. We are not come to this yet. This is Mundaka Upanishad Bhashyam is in chapter 3. In Mundaka 3 will come to this. Then, te swargam sarvataha prapya dhira yuktatmanaha sarvameva vishantihi ityadi shrutibhyaha itya shruti says here that here ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha means in this loka if you attain fulfillment you do not have to go to travel to the loka. This is negation of time. See, travel means what? There's a time involved. See, when you travel means what? You have to say from this place to that place. So what is place? It's also within Brahman. So when you say that I want to go to this place, then this is space involved. Time is involved. And nama rupa karma. So there's a nama also. Brahma loka. Then there's a rupam. Oh, this Brahma loka will be like this. You have an opinion. And you also do karma there. Oh, if I do go to Brahma loka, I will do this. I'll go to Indra loka, I'll be doing this. So all these, there are activities being done there. Every loka has got activities. Depending upon what the loka's rules are there. Correct? So, na ihaiva in here sarve praviliyanti kamaha. After having attained all the karmas, you attained everything here. You have already achieved liberation. You have negated time. Then it says here, te swargam sarvataha prapya dhira yuktatmanaha. Means this discriminative people, dhiraha, means these wise people or discriminative people, those people, savargam sarvataha prapyaha, they have already attained everything what they want to attain. And savargam means what? Brahman here. Not swargam. Savargam means he talks about Brahman here. All pervading Brahman. And sarvataha prapyaha means he has attained everything. Brahmavid atmoti param tat eshab yuktaha. That person who thinks he is Brahman, he has already attained Brahman. Correct. So sarvataha prapyaha means having totally attained, dhiraha, wise person, yukta atmanaha, means these are all endowed people who are self-controlled people. Yukta atmanaha, endowed with discrimination, self-controlled people, sarvam eva vishantihi. Means they have become one with the Brahman. So this is talked about in the next verse, but the Acharya says here that very important to know that if a person realizes Brahman in this Janma, here itself, in Bhuloka itself, then that Shanam itself, that same moment, he is free. There is no more trouble for the person, there is no more anything attained for the person. Thereby, he is negating time, he is negating space, he is negating all objects. Time object, time spatial, and object based limitations is removed. This is only three things available, right? Therefore, it says the view to go to Brahmaloka is not correct. Because Brahmaloka is what? Again, time bound. See, everything in this universe is a product of Aparavidya, which has got Nama, Rupa, Karma, Karma, right? Nama. Everything has got a name. It has got a form. And it has got a function. Any object you take, anything you take in this world, including your own creation also. The human being also has got a name. Each of us has got a name, right? We've got a form. We are male, female, we've got transgender, whatever, we've got a form. Short, dark, all sorts of attributes you can have. Then you do karma, because depending upon your dharma or whichever category you come, you do karma. So when you can imagine that it is applicable to our own self, everything else is known through us. So all the objects which are there also has got nama rupa karma rahita. So this universe is what got nama rupa karma sahita. Means along with the attributes. Whereas Atma or Brahman is Nama Rupa Rahita, Karma Rahita. That which is not included. So all these things they come under the Dvaita Prapanchaha. Is it clear to you, this verse 11? Okay. Then verse 12. We'll see how far we go. The first line of the mantra talks about the person following Karma Yoga. And who gets the name of Brahmanaha. The second line talks about Vairagyam. Dispassion towards the materialistic goals. Then third line talks about Mokshuttam. And the fourth line talks about the qualifications of a guru. See, one of the fundamental questions we have is how to identify a guru. Sometimes, you know, we have all these problems. Guru means somebody should be having a big beard. He should be having a saffron robe. He must be bald. Or he must be living somewhere else. You cannot accept a person, a normal person as guru, because you have your own kalpana, your own view of what is guru. So the Upanishad gives some lakshana for a guru. How to approach a guru, who do you see as a guru, is important. And so this verse starting to now get into the Paravidya section here. So, Parikshalokan Karma Chittan Brahmanaha. The first line talks about the Brahmanaha or the person who is the Karma Yogi. Parikshalokan Karma Chittan Brahmanaha. Then second line talks about Vairagya. Nirvedamayad Nastya Kritakritena. Nirvedamayad Nastya Kritakritena. Then third line talks about the knowledge or the mokshattam, how do you should develop mokshattam? Or how do you should approach a teacher? Tad vijnataha sa gurumeva abhigachet. I think I told you this before also. Samitpanihi shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Correct. So this comes in the Mundaka Upanishad that I told you in some other class already. So, Pariksha Lokan Karma Chittan Brahmanaha Nirveda Mayat Nastya Kritakritena Tadvignataha Sa Gurumeva Abhigachet Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. So, the Anvayaha or the prose form is like this. Karma Chittan Lokan Karma Chittan Lokan Pariksha Brahmanaha Nirvedam Ayat. It's first line. Karma Chittan Lokan Pariksha Brahmanaha Nirvedam Ayat. Kritena Akritanaha Kritena Akritaha Na Asti. See. Doer, Kritaya Kritaya means doer. Akritaha, a person who sees non-action and action. Remember the Bhagavad Gita. The person who sees non-action and action, Kritena Akritaha Na Asti. He doesn't think himself as a doer. This is the Karma Yogi. He talks about the Vairagyam. Dispassion has already come into this. Tat vijnataha sa abhigachet samitpanihi. Tat vijnataha sa abhigachet samitpanihi. Gurum eva shrotriyam brahmanishtam. So karma chittan lokan pariksha brahmanaha nirvedam ayat. First line. Then Kritena akrita na asti. Tat vijnataha sa abhigacche samitpanihi gurum eva shrotriyam brahmanishtam. So take the word pariksha lokan. So pariksha means what? Having pariksha means having analyzed or having examined. Pariksha means what? Examined, right? Exam. You say pariksha means exam. So parikshyaha means what? Examined. Parikshayaha means you examine. What examined? Lokan. Having examined all the limitations of the lokas. You see, I've examined Bhuloka. I know what is available in Brahma Loka. I don't want to go there. I don't know if it doesn't go to Indra Loka. So he's examined all the fallacies of these lokas. Or when I say loka, I mean the field of experiences. not going somewhere and understanding it. He has understood the fallacy of experiences he has got, he or she has got. How? Karma Chittan, having done or having gained this through do the karmas. Yes, he or she has done the karmas and they have understood that, okay, I have been doing all these things. It has not taken me anywhere, and how am I going to end it? Correct. He is called a Brahmanaha, means a discriminate seeker. Brahmanaha means not like, you know, a person seeker, a mumukshu. And how we should come? Nirvedam ayat. Nirvedaha means dispassion. He should come to gain dispassion. See, when a person has analyzed all his experiences, he or she has gone through the experiences, say, oh, see, Uladana, oh, Uladana. This is what it's all about. This is what it is. My God, I was chasing this. That's all it is. No, I'm not interested. So he has gone through one by one and say, not interested, not interested, not interested. And slowly, by analyzing all the experiences, all the karmas he has done, he or she comes to a conclusion that, look, I have been chasing this mirage for such a long time. It is not really, there's water there, it's just a mirage. And he becomes a Brahmana, a discriminative seeker. Now he is very discriminative, very, very choosy about what he wants to pursue, what he doesn't want to pursue. Not like taking everything. Angeyum pola, alla apdi kedaiyadhu. You have priority, right? You choose where you want to study. Okay. If you want to study physics, you go to study physics. You cannot say that I'll also study biology also. Chumma padikalam. What's the point? Chumma padicha poccha. Why waste when you are going to be a physician, astrophysicist, then you study that. If you want to be a zoologist, something, you study something else. So you have to focus what you want to study. If you want to be Brahmanishta, if you want to achieve moksha, you study Veda Shastra. You understand Brahman. So you become discriminative seeker. So Nirvedam Ayat. Karma Chittan Lokan Parikshaha Brahmanaha Nirvedam Ayat. Means Pariksha Lokan, by examining the experience of the Lokas, by having analyzed one's own experiences of all the karmas which have been done. Karma Chittan. Mean the karmas, and thereby you experience the results. Punyam, papam, everything you are experiencing. Then you get over it. He says, it's all it is. He becomes a Brahmanaha, discriminative person, a seeker. Nirvedam aya, dispassion slowly sets into him. See, Upanishad very clearly says, Epidi Vardhan, when you start analyzing your experiences, when you learn from the experiences and you understand the fallacies of all these things, you become a wise person. Correct? When you become a wise person, dispassion sets you automatically to you. You don't have to chase anything. No, I'm going to get dispassion. I'm going to develop dispassion. You don't develop anything. You continue to do what you're doing. If you understand it is not going to give you benefit, you grow out of it naturally. Dispassion automatically comes. This is not like a product to go to the market and buy dispassion. It's not available in kilo or something like this. It is already available to you. You have to develop it when it comes to you. Vaisana undurma. Some people, vaisana varada. Dispassion varada. You will get more attached. You entangle. Nariya ullana poi martin dilla, vasama martin dilla. It cannot come out. And they struggle there. It is like that, you know, the bundle of thread. Sometimes the punal also is a technique of removing the punal. When you buy from the shop, they'll tie it such a way that not everything is clear, right? If you try to pull one direction without knowing what it is, it will get entangled. And you can never figure out how to do it. You have to throw it out. So the bundle of thread, they become entangled in this attachment, emotions, duties, commitment, everything by Martin Drawer. Then they are not able to come out when they want to come out. We talked about the Vanaprastha before, right? In the Vanaprastha stage, what? You have to leave these things. When a person gets married, you have done your duties, you have to slowly, slowly get dissociated. and you have to dwell upon the Brahman, do upasana, meditation, and lead a contented life just by yourself and your husband, not anybody else. You cannot live with hundreds of people there. So said he. You got to go from the place and live by yourself separately, only meditating on Brahman, the teaching, pursue Shastram to the core. This is what is said in the Shastram. This is what will give you moksha. Otherwise, you will continue to be involved in this samsara. It does not give you moksha. That's what it says here. Karma chittan lokan pariksha brahmanaha. Having done the karmas, experience the fallacies of all these things. And marabudi adhulayipi udakudad. Right. After having done all these things, marabudi, same thing if you keep on doing, then it doesn't, you're not learning anything from that, right? So you're not a discriminant seeker anymore. So you're not called a brahmana. Here it says, pariksha lokan karma chittan brahmana nirvedam aya. Natural dispassion sets in. Kritena akritena asti. So he says, this person realizes by kritena means by doing karma. Akritaha means what this moksha talks about here. Akritaha na asti. He understands that by doing all these karmas, rituals and upasanas, I am not going to get any moksha. Na asti. It is not there. Moksha is not there for me. If I am going to do kind of karmas, if I am going to get entangled in all these things, it is not going to be there for me. Moksha is not there. So what does it do? After having gained the vision, after having gained this dispassion, tat vijnataha means to attain knowledge. To gain that knowledge, what does it do? Abhigachet samitpanihi. Abhigachet means he goes. He starts to go towards somebody. Samitpanihi. How does he do? By taking samitpanihi means taking a dry sticks. See, in the olden days, the samit used to be offered into the fire. When the person becomes a brahmana, a brahmacharyam, he is supposed samitadana. So the sticks are offered into the fire, samit, dry sticks. See, a dry stick will catch fire quickly. It will not smoke. So, to become dry stick, what it means is that you become like a samit. Correct? So, samit means what your stick is ready. Then you offer it to fire. If your stick is wet, samit is wet, say Malayala Pinjin. You have picked up the stick, you offer it to the fire, or a poyo. And then Kanda Thanni Varo, Pasina Varo. You cannot sit there. Coughing Varo, all poge, see, is common. Punyam is what? You offer it to the fire, it catches fire, no smoke. Punyam. Papam. You offer this, not this proper samit, dry, wet samit. It will not catch fire, it will only produce smoke. So this smoke is supposed to be what? It's supposed not good for you, right? It is going to cause you some inconvenience. Nobody likes smoke. If you ask any person sitting there, they will say, keep on fanning, you want the agni to come out. Agni should be burning up, not like agni should be under smoldering. We saw in the previous verse also, right? Sapta Jihva. So the Agni should be, all this, the flame should be up, always steady. Lelayate. Dancing. Flame. Correct? So here, the Samitpani he talks about here is Abhigachet, means he goes to the teacher with Samitpani. He means having got the vision, having got prepared his mind mentally, now he's approaching the teacher. He's just not going there just because he wants to go. He has done adequate mental preparation. He has developed some vairagyam, dispassion. He is ready now. and he goes to teacher how samitpani he guru meva, he only goes to the guru. And he says, what Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Now the qualities of the guru is Shrotriya. Who they say Shrotriya means the person who has already listened from another teacher. You cannot go to a guru who says, now I'm the self-made guru. I have learned everything by internet, Wikipedia, Googlananda is there for me. All books are available and I write my own thesis. Such person should not be called, it's not called a guru, because a Shrotriyam involves two things. Number one is he has gone through a formal method of teaching, number one, from a teacher. And he or she already has a guru. You cannot say that, you know, my guru is somewhere up. See, the guru has to be in flesh and form. You cannot have a guru who is actually in the past. Guru is not there anymore. And my Manasya guru is somebody who is there for generation. You cannot have such a guru like this. He can be a mentor. A guru has to be somebody who has been physical person who is actually able to guide you step by step. And you have to learn from that person continuously over a period of time. This is the quality of the guru said in the Shastra. Whether you like it or not, whether you follow it or different, it's not a problem. But the guru definition, the guru word itself, is more of darkness. And how can a person remove darkness when the person is not existing? Where will you go? If the person is not there, will you go and ask him, remove darkness, and how will you remove darkness? He is not going to come in your dream and say that this is how you do. That also is an experience. If somebody thinks that, you know, they are all coming and giving me knowledge, etc. I'm learning, my guru is right in my bed and he or she is teaching me every day. It is also an experience, your own imagination. It is not the truth. It's an experience. Because there's no direct connection. Basically, guru vacho means what? Everything should be guru mukham. It has to come through the mouth of the guru. Guru mukhena is what it says here. Correct? So, Shrotriyam means the person who's learned his scriptures. He has studied scriptures properly under a teacher. And has a knowledge of the Vedic method of unfolding. Not just studying, everybody can study Shastra. There are many people who can study Shastram, they are well read. All Chaturvedis are there. But not everybody can unfold the vision of the Shastram in the traditional method which is being there. The key method, the key thing here is the student should get the vision. He or she should be able to be comfortable saying that, yes, I understand what is being said here. Not showing the prowess of the teacher or the guru. The guru can, you know, speak in multiple languages, different quotes from this, that, this, everything and quote. It only confuses the student. So the teaching should be simple and not very, what do you call, confusing. And there should be methodology. For example, you know, when you learn from a teacher, that parampara, when they are coming, it will not be different. The message we conveyed is the same thing consistently in every class. Not like the guru has got his own methodology. You know, I think I got my own way of teaching. You know, this is my own method. I have developed this curriculum. In the curriculum? Curriculum is what? Veda is a curriculum. Pashyam is a curriculum. What are you trying to teach? You are only trying to teach what is said in the Shastram already there. But you've got to know how to unfold it. You've got to know how to present it. So, Shrotriyam means the person who has learned in scriptures and has a knowledge of the Vedic method of teaching. Methodology is important. And Brahmanishtam means this person who at all times is dwelling in Brahman. He or she knows I am Brahman. I am Atma Brahma. So this Atma is Brahman. I am Atma, Brahma is one of the Mahavakyams. So this Atma is Brahman. So the person who realizes, who keeps thinking about it, he is called Brahmanishtha. Such a person is called a guru. And how do you approach? Tad vijnatam sa guru meva samitpani abhigacchanti sotriyam Brahmanishtha. So you, this is the qualities. So the guru's lakshanam is also given that he should be a Brahmanishtha. He cannot be somebody who is going around everywhere, you know. He can be moving around society, but his or, you know, her main person pursuit should be Brahma. Is moksha. And this is what is the lakshanam of the guru. Such a person, you should approach the guru what with proper. Next verse, he talks about the method by which you should approach also. Okay, so we'll go through the Bhashyam in the next class a little bit more, and then we'll go to verse 13. Okay. Any doubts on this class? All clear. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. I'll see you, some of you, in the morning class, Vishnu Sahasrama class.